take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. Book of Ephesians and chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And from there we'll be going to the book of John and chapter 9. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, verse that we quoted several times this morning, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, belief. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Grace is a gift of God. Faith is that gift that he gives. Now turn with me to the book of John in chapter 9. In this 9th chapter of the book of John, Jesus heals a man that was blind from his birth. He heals him. He gives him sight. And faced much opposition. As the man who was healed faced much opposition. Because he dared speak of this one called Jesus that gave him sight. So much opposition so that he was put out of the synagogue. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Dost thou believe on the Son of God? We've been led, and we believe the leading is of the Lord, to take a break from our afternoon studies in the book of Ephesians for a few weeks, maybe. And look at some different things. This afternoon, the question is, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the way?
Amen.
He is the truth. He is the life.
Amen.
He's the only way to the Father.
Yes. Amen.
He's the only way to heaven. You see, I meet a lot of different people and talk to them about what they're trusting in. And you'd be surprised the number of people that are just trusting in the fact that they're a good person. Well, we'll try to do as best we can do. Well, I'm here to tell you this afternoon that the best you can do is not good enough.
Amen.
You can be the best moral person so that even those present would look upon you and admire you because you're such a good moral person. But that's not good enough.
Amen.
You must believe.
Amen.
You must believe. You must be born again.
Amen.
Believe in what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Well, what about Jesus Christ? That he was sent from God. He is the Son of God. He was sent for what purpose? To die for sinners.
Amen.
Are you a sinner?
Amen.
Are you a sinner? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's only one problem with that. You see, all have sinned, so all are sinners, but not all recognize the fact that they are sinners. You believe that Jesus Christ died for sinners? That his death, his burial, and his resurrection is the only thing that is necessary for you to receive forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
That's what you must believe in.
Amen.
Turn with me to the book of Romans momentarily. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, works is out of it. I mean, you could keep all the Ten Commandments, you could keep them most perfectly, and you haven't kept them perfectly. There is no man that has loved the Lord God with all their heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. And there's no man that has loved his neighbor as himself. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Discuss that this morning. You must have the righteousness of God, and that is by faith. Faith of Jesus Christ. Belief of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's where you receive forgiveness of sins, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's a big word. But it means simply that satisfaction, to be an appeasement, a satisfaction before God.
Amen.
That is Christ Jesus, and his shed blood was a satisfaction to God through faith.
Amen.
In his blood. You must believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is the only thing that can secure for you the righteousness of God and forgiveness of your sin. And forgiveness of your sins means they're wiped away. They're wiped away. Not that you quit sinning. You should sin less and less. But that means as far as God is concerned and you're standing with him, they're gone. He's not holding them against you any longer. Now the word believe that we find in John chapter 9 and verse 35 means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, have confidence. That's faith. And it comes from a word meaning conviction of the truth relating to God. That's faith. You have a conviction of the truth as it relates to God, as it relates to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which, that word comes from a word meaning persuaded. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. You see, Paul had faith. Paul, do you believe? Paul believed to the saving of his soul. So we're talking about this afternoon having full confidence, being fully convinced or persuaded in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And you know the setting here. It's the day of Pentecost. The church on the day of Pentecost was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means simply means they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God came upon them so that they could do wonderful, mighty things that's not common to man to be able to do. And so, Peter standing up on that day begins to preach. And there are some from Jews from many different countries, speaking different languages. And Peter stood up and began to preach. And he began to preach to them Jesus Christ. And every man heard in his own language, in his native language. Peter didn't speak their language, but as Peter spoke, they heard the words that Peter spoke in their own language. And Peter got done preaching to them the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 37 says, now, when they heard this, the things concerning Jesus Christ, they were pricked in their heart. That means their hearts were pierced through. They were pierced through with sorrow in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What can I do? What shall I do? I mean, you can see it, just they were distraught over their sin, and they were distraught that their sins had nailed Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. That they had taken Him and they had crucified Him. He said, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Repent. You must repent of your sins toward God. Acts 20 and verse 21. You must repent of your sins toward God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins. Our text says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Baptism doesn't obtain the remission, the forgiveness of sins. You're baptized because of. Because your sins have been remitted. The moment you repent, the moment you have repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately, you're a changed individual. Immediately, your sins have been remitted. The slate is wiped clean. They're forgiven. They're gone. And then, because of, that word for there is misleading so many times. But see, it's simple. That's the only illustration I can best think of, and it gets it across. If you see a wanted poster in the post office, Jesse James wanted for murder, what are you going to consider? Are you going to consider that Jesse James is wanted so that he can go out and commit murder for somebody? Well, that's what some people say about this passage of Scripture. No. Just common sense tells you. Jesse James is wanted because he committed murder. Well, it's just common sense here that you're not baptized so that your sins will be remitted. You're baptized because your sins have been remitted. Have been. Forgiven. And remitted. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Another familiar passage of Scripture. Paul and Silas preaching. How the powers that be didn't like it. And let that be an example to you. We're fast approaching a day where the powers that be may not like you preaching. Preaching about Jesus Christ. I mean, we're fast moving that direction. They may not like you preaching about Jesus Christ. They may throw you in prison as they did Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, did that discourage them? No. What do you find them doing at midnight? They're praising God and singing songs. Well, what was that? That was a witness.
Amen.
To those that were there in the prison with him, even to the jailer, the one keeping the prison. Verse 30, because they didn't run for their lives when the earthquake happened and the doors were flung open and the chains fell off, because they didn't flee for their run for their lives, because they stayed there. And they told the jailer, don't kill yourself. We're all here. Look what the jailer says in verse 30. And he brought them, Paul and Silas, out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe. There's our word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all in your household who will believe shall be saved as well. You see? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is able. That he is sovereign. That he is all powerful. You see, we must have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, is a great, the great faith chapter, of course, and we just read the verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him. In verse 13, after listing several of the saints who have gone on before us, he said, but all, these all died in faith. They died in faith. They believed. Amen. And from the moment they believed until they died. They went to their grave believing in God. Amen. Believing the truth concerning God. They hadn't received all the promises that verse tells us. But they saw him. How did they see him? Did they see him with a physical eye? No, they saw him with the eye of faith. Amen. They seen him afar off. Well, by faith. It's just like you and I look to the glories of heaven. We believe him to be so. We see him afar off. We know that one day we're going to be in possession of him.
Amen.
All the glories of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We have more great and precious readings from the Word of God concerning belief. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 18. You know, and actually this is breaking into the middle of a thought, and I hate to do that. Let's begin with verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Well, why did he confirm it by his word? That by two immutable things, the counsel of God and the word of God.
Amen.
And when they're both unchangeable. Mm-hmm. God's counsel doesn't change and his word doesn't change. Amen. That by two immutable things in which it was possible for God to lie. God cannot lie. So his word is true, and it's always true.
Amen.
It never changes. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner for us entered even Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, you can't get any better than that. He's talking about faith there.
Amen.
We have a strong consolation. Unchangeable.
Yes.
steadfast. Are you convinced? Are you convinced concerning the Word of God as it applies to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, there have been hundreds of thousands, I don't know, probably millions over the years, that were asked to, told to recant their faith and live. They didn't recant it. They died. They were beheaded. They were tortured. They were pulled apart, sawn asunder, because they were steadfast in the Word of God and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His Son. Do you believe? Do you believe on the Son of God? Yes. Well, if you believe on the Son of God, then you have no doubt about His divinity. Amen. He's just that. He's divine. He's God. Amen. He's God. He's from God. He is God. Matthew 16 and verse 16, Jesus had asked His disciples, His apostles, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "No, some say you're Elias, some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Some say you're the Christ." He said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, Peter, at that point, was persuaded, as were the other apostles. They were persuaded. Now, he was and is the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 20, in verse 21, the Holy Spirit led John to write this to us concerning Jesus Christ. In verse 21 of the 20th chapter, or verse 31 of the 20th chapter of the book of John, he said, "But these things are written," things that he's written concerning Christ, from the first chapter till now. "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Do you believe God's record? Do you believe the record that the Holy Spirit of God led John to write from John chapter 1 through John chapter 20? "These things were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life, eternal life, through His name." Amen. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, and Philip preaching to several different people, but he was led to go where a great evangelistic services were going on, and he was led to go to where there was one man, but that one man needed Jesus. Needed someone to show him the way. That man was the Ethiopian eunuch. Chapter 8 and verse 37, after expounding to the Ethiopian eunuch the things concerning Christ from the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, they came to a body of water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See, here's water.
What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, you ever wonder where the man got the idea that he needed to be baptized?
Somewhere along the way, Peter must have expounded the thoughts of baptism after salvation. But notice what Philip, notice what Philip said to him in the 37th verse. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." In other words, if you're fully convinced, persuaded, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe." You see, he believed God's record from the book of Isaiah in chapter 53 concerning the things concerning Jesus Christ. Well, if you believe, then you have repented of your sins. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and in that chapter starts out, John the Baptist comes on the scene and becomes preaching. He comes preaching repentance and faith. Amen. And all who had repentance and faith, John baptized. And it says there in those passages that they were baptized confessing their sins. In other words, they confessed their sins and they were baptized. They said the same thing about their sins that God says about their sins. That's what it means to confess your sin. You've sinned. You're nothing but a sinner. And sins are against God. All sin is against God. It's a transgression of the law. We're told in the book of 1 John chapter 3. But some scribes and Pharisees came to John's baptism that hadn't been there and heard his preaching. And because everybody else was repenting of their sins and being baptized, well, they were looking at the fact that they were being baptized, and they said, "We want to be baptized too." And what was John's response to them? You can read it there in Matthew chapter 3. John says, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Who hath warned you to flee from judgment? Who has warned you? Who has told you that you're sinners and that you're exceeding sinful before God? And that God's judgment is upon sinners? Who's warned you? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat, suitable, necessary for repentance." In other words, if you've repented of your sins, then your life will manifest it. You'll quit being an adulterer. You'll quit being a fornicator if you were those things. You'll quit being a drunkard if you were those things. You'll quit being a thief. We've been studying those things in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, have we not? It's what the Holy Spirit told the Ephesian church. Acts chapter 20 and 21, verse 21. Paul testifying there to the Ephesian elders, the elders at the church at Ephesus, that he had not failed to preach both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. He said to the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, some people Some people want to preach only faith. God's a God of love and only faith. And they never want to dwell on the fact that you need to repent. Listen, why did Paul preach repentance? Because repentance is necessary. Faith demands repentance. And true repentance just demands faith. You see, you can't separate the two. The two go together.
Well, if you believe, you have everlasting life. What was it? Jesus? Well, maybe not Jesus. We're told in the book of John, chapter 3, in verse 36. Yeah, it was John who said this. In the book of John, chapter 3, and verse 36, he said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." When does he have everlasting life? At the moment he believes. That very moment he believes. Hath. That means right now he's in possession of it. Hath. Everlasting life. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." He that does not believe, or doesn't continue on in belief. That is noted by the ETH, or the TH, in this case, on the end of believeth. Believe. Believeth. It notes an ever-continual present process. In other words, you didn't just believe 45 years ago. You continued to believe every day since then. And just as Hebrews chapter 11, these dying in faith, you will go to your grave believing. Amen. See, and he that does not continue in belief, he's not believed. He abideth in death. Amen. Abideth in condemnation. John chapter 6 and verse 47, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath." I remember Brother Francis. He loved that. I do too. I mean, the moment I believed, I was in possession of everlasting life. Well, if you believe, if you truly believe, then you're justified. You're declared to be without sin. Amen. You're declared to be with the righteousness of God. That's Romans chapter 4. That's a summation of Romans chapter 4. You see, if you believe, if you truly believed, then you're justified from all things. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 26. We read here in this passage of Scripture, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Amen. He that believeth in Jesus, and he can continues that belief, he's justified. And God, the justifier, justifies him, declares him to be so. Well, moving on. If you believe, then your heart has been purified. You've been purified. You've been cleansed. Cleansed. Acts 15 and verse 9. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9 says, "And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. The word purifying simply means cleansing their hearts by faith. Faith, true faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses the heart. Has to be so. No cleansing of the heart, no justification, you see. Well, we got to move on. We're about out of time. We are out of time. Verse number 6. If you believe, then you're a worker in love. Isn't that what Galatians 5:6 says? Works don't avail anything. Don't profit a thing. But faith, which worketh by love. That's not a human love. That's an agape love.
Amen.
It is the only kind of love wherewith you will truly love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And it's the only kind of love that you'll truly love your fellow man as yourself. Faith. Belief. It's the only thing possible to obtain that. Well, James chapter 2. We talked about James this morning. James is big on you say you have faith. Now I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, James chapter 2, verse 26, he said, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." And he's talking about the works of love. What other work is there? It's a work of love. Faith, which worketh by love. John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, goes on to talk about, there he talks about... You say you love God? You say you love the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you love the Lord Jesus Christ and hate your brother? Brother there is can be of kin, but it can be countryman. It can be your fellow man. That's what he's talking about there. You know? Moving on, number 7. If you believe, then you have victory over the world. Faith. We sing a song, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1 starts out talking about that faith. That faith works towards our fellow man. And then verses 4 and 5 talks about faith being the victory which overcomes the world. The 8th, if you have faith, if you believe, then you look upon the things which are unseen. Isn't that the definition that Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 gives us? Faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul addressed that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, "For we have faith, we look not upon the things of the world, but we look upon the things which are unseen, the things of God, which are not seen with the physical eye, and only seen by the eye of faith." And lastly, if you have faith, then you seek souls. You seek souls to tell. Tell about the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. Who did he have that for? Who did he have that great heaviness? Who did he have that great sorrow for? He goes on to say, for I could wish myself a curse. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul, you must have been out of your mind. That's the way we look at it, isn't it? Talked about zeal this morning. Where's our zeal? Where's our zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's our zeal? Where's our compassion and burden for the souls of men who are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ? He also said in the 10th chapter of Romans, the very next chapter, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See, that's what I mean, everywhere Paul went, he tried to preach to the Jew first, and even when he knew, even when he was warned against going to Jerusalem because the Jews wanted to take him and wanted to put him to death, I'm ready to die for Christ, he said. Amen. He had a zeal, he had a burden for his kinsmen, according to the flesh, that they might hear, that they might believe the things concerning Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Do you believe? That's where it has to begin. It has to begin with faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.